Listen to the word of the Lord this morning. It's a few of you. For the last two or three months, just a little bit loud, Mark. I've had a number of people speaking and appreciating their ministry, their willingness to serve God in that capacity, sharing their wisdom that the Lord shows them. And I'm sure some of the newer ones realize the tough job it is, eh, Bruce? You know, you stand before the congregation, and hopefully you've went to the Lord to get a word from Him, and then you're feeling great about it and everything, and then sometimes when you look out at the congregation, you realize 100 people, like, whoa, you're over here in your faith, and you're over there, and you're dealing with these issues in your life, and some guy's got to stand up here and try to minister, and so that's the tough part of it. But when you realize that the Spirit of the Lord can minister to each heart through His Word, then it takes the pressure off. Because, yesterday when we had a men's fellowship there, one gentleman asked me, is it going to be a good one today? Can you imagine that? Is it going to be a good one today? And that happens lots, and I don't mind it at all. I guess it depends on the individual that shows up and sits in the chair. Mm-hmm. Like if you came in looking to the Lord, thanks, Jeff. If you came in looking to the Lord for a word from Him, I guarantee you'll receive it. It doesn't depend on who's ever standing up here to share God's word. It's God's word. It brings life. It's manna. He's the bread of heaven. And so hope your heart's in that position today. And we'll do our best. So I've got to do a good one today, and I also got to keep it short. Another brother said, as I shook hands this morning, hey, keep it short, eh? Incredible, eh? They're your brothers and sisters that say these things to the minister of the gospel. So whenever that happens, when somebody wants it short, I always go over and chat with Sig and say, Sig, how long do you want it today? Because he really likes a long sermon. Other ones like it short, we try to bring balance. Thank you, Jeff, for the water. Little shaky up here today. Got a couple of teeth out this week, and all things went well, but strange, they put you on these meds. I thought I'd sleep great. I was up at 1 in the morning, wide awake, and for 3.5 hours. So I'm not used to not used to the meds, but no excuses. God is here. He'll minister to each one. So let's dive in to His word this morning. Just raise your hand, Eric, as we begin this morning. Gentleman at the back, Eric's my new best friend. Do you see Eric? Stand up so they can see you. Come on, Eric. Yeah. The reason I asked his permission, I'm not going to do that to anybody, but Eric's new to our community. He's walked with God a long time. And I just say that we had coffee this week, and just great to get to know him, hear his story. He heard a bit of mine. And I just throw that out to the men and the women that people, God's bringing people constantly into our fellowship. And that aspect of our ministry is very, very important. When, you know, you can have a coffee downstairs. We love it. You go 5 minutes or 10. But when you sit across the table from a man or a woman for an hour and chat, you really get to know them. You can go a lot deeper. So throw that out to the congregation. I know many of you are doing it already, and I encourage you in that ministry to get to know one another and love and care for each other. Okay, message title today. I'll be speaking to you, Mary, often today, having a little fun with you. Christ is all. What do I see happening in the church? I see a lot of good things in our assembly. As I mentioned earlier, we had fellowship yesterday downstairs. Once a month, Bill pulls us together. We have an awesome meeting just to be with the men. And so I think there was 20, 24 guys out, 27 guys out yesterday. Just fabulous. God adding to our midst. And the way Bill leads it, it's just a beautiful ministry. And I see guys connecting at a deep level in their faith, encouraging one another on. We just finished the Alpha series, February, March, April. 35 completed the course, about 50 started, but 35 completed. going, some of them coming in and just looking at the faith, wondering, you know, having questions, and there they were able to discuss those questions. And others in our congregation that want to offer a refresher course or go deeper with Christ all together. But exciting, exciting stuff to see that happening in our midst. So keep it up. Be open to the Spirit of the Lord. Another thing I see in the body of Christ in some of our men and women is that as they go deeper in God, as the Lord is working in their lives, they're learning things about the Lord. And immediately I see them wanting to take that teaching, that learning, and pass it on to others. One beggar telling another beggar where to get some bread, pointing them consistently to Christ. And I see that happening. I meet a lot of people, talk to a lot of people on the phone, and it gets me pumped that I believe that we're following the Lord together and we're growing and maturing in the Lord. Can I hear an amen for that one, Bill? So far, so good. Going deeper with God. You've heard the expression, I should be looking at Mary, not you, Jeff. Don't pray for patience. Why? Don't pray for patience. Does not the scripture say the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace? Patience. And so I want more patience in my life. And I know what we mean when we say by that all hell is going to break loose type of thing, eh? But the thing we want is we do want patience, the fruit of the Spirit in our life, because that's the fruit of God's Spirit. But let me just angle you a bit on another channel here, is that what we want is more of the Spirit of God in our life. And as I abide in the vine, as we abide in the vine, we'll bear much fruit. And some of that fruit will be patience. God will get the glory, and we can point people to Him. So here's one. If you think patience is a tough one, when you ask for patience, God starts working on you. Try praying for humility. I'm on a journey, a few months, read a few books, getting pumped and excited, and as I look at my Savior, one of His characteristics, beautiful characteristics, is the humility of the Lord. Amen, Randy? So I look at that, and the scripture says, I want to be more like Christ. Do you not want to be more like our Savior and Lord? So I've been praying that. Well, the road to humility, wow, humble yourself. And also as I, personal journey here, as I seek to have that characteristic of Christ in my life, there's one thing that God has to deal with. Well, what might that be? Oh, preach it, sister. Oh, that's a tough one. And yet, that's my personal journey. As I seek the Lord and God, I need some humility in my life. The Lord says, humble yourself before the Lord. He'll lift you up at the proper time. But when we deal with that, friends, it means dealing with pride. That's my personal testimony. I know you're on a journey tight with God, and He's showing you things. And I just praise God that as we learn from the Lord, we share with our brothers, maybe over coffee, maybe in a small group or whatever, what the Lord is doing in our life. So the good news is we're pumped, we're excited because of what He's doing in this assembly. And of course, here comes the bad news. We're really doing good, but we've got a long way to go. Amen? Yes. We've got so much to learn, so much to learn in following the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here's my scripture today. We're going to get to Colossians in a minute, but 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, you don't have to put it up there, Sarah. The whole assembly knows this scripture. All scripture is God-breathed, inspired by God for the purpose of teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So we are doing well as an assembly, but we've got a long way to go. So I want to bring out something that some might think, what are you talking about that for? Man, I learned that a long time ago. But here it is. I believe the church, and this is not only my observation, but I've read other authors that are worldwide guys, and they see a lot more than I do. So when I hear it and it resonates with my heart in our own community and assembly, I believe God's speaking. I believe that we, in the church, North America, Canada, Alberta, suffer from JDD. JDD. Preach it, sister. Who said that? You've heard of ADD? Attention Deficit Disorder. I believe that we suffer from JDD, Jesus Deficit Disorder. Does it resonate with any heart? And the reason I say that is that sometimes when I, and I'll get to it later in the message, that when I hear the preaching on the airwaves and hear other authors talk about it and the concern throughout the land, that a lot of times Jesus is missing in our preaching. The word of the Lord this morning, the songs this morning brought our attention, praise God, upon him, the author and perfecter of our faith. But sometimes what happens is other things get in there, and Jesus, rather than high and lifted up, he said, I will draw all men unto me. We lower him down and he becomes equal with a number of other things in our lives. So that's what I want to address this morning. I don't know about you, but when I share my testimony, the central point of my testimony is August 23rd, whatever, it's 1978, but the central point is Christ saved me. I can tell you all about my past. Sometimes testimonies take an hour to tell you about all the gory details and all that stuff, but the focus I want to say this morning should always be on Christ's transformation in my life, about Christ dying for my sins, being raised from the dead, and Christ coming in to my life. I could tell you another 40 years as I've walked with God, but always along those trails and the stories and whatever the Lord's developing character in my life, it's all got to be connected to the branch, or the vine, pardon me. It's got to be connected with Christ. And so I come back to a lot of the preaching I hear, and embarrassingly so, a lot of my own preaching over the years, I think, my goodness, I talk more about this than him. And he should be tied into every sermon, the central part, and then we work out from there. And so I really believe that that as we shift, and I do believe in our own church in the last 4 or 5 years, that the focus has been more upon him and less upon other things. That it's not that they're not important, but they're not as important as the highest one. The one who holds, as we read this morning, all things together. Anyways, we got a quiet crowd today. Colossians 3:11. If we could put that one up. I guess I could quote it. I don't think we're going to be short today. Colossians 3:11. Christ is all and in all. Letter to the Colossians I want to talk about this morning. Paul wrote the letter. Just the last part of that. Christ is all and is in all. Christ is all and is in all. Paul wrote the letter to the Colossian church. He was in jail. Epaphras was the fellow that planted the church there. He was a disciple of Paul. And Epaphras ends up in jail with Paul. Paul's writing this letter while he's in jail. And he writes, he hears the news that's happening in Colossae. And he addresses that. And some of the things that happened was mysticism, worship of angels, Gnosticism, the first roots of it, not the second and third century style, but the first roots of Gnosticism, as well as a bit of Jewish law, the Pharisees and following the law. So there's a number of things that he's addressing here, but the interesting point I want to make this morning is that how he addresses those problems. He doesn't tackle them head on, but he takes us into, in chapter 1, I read it to open the service today, 15, but also I want to put up there chapter 2, 2 to 10. And this is how Paul addresses the problems there. Basically, there are two in a nutshell. The church has been distracted by other things. And the church has basically dethroned Christ's supremacy. So they're getting distracted with other things and also lowering Christ down to be not equal with other gods, but just lower, and rather than their Christology being everything about Christ, they've added other things in there. And here he talks about in chapter 2, verse 2, "My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. Christ, all the fullness..." Oh, I missed a word, eh? "In Christ?" Thank you. "For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority." Go to chapter 1, verse 15. I think I want to read it again, Sarah. How Paul just exalts, he addresses these problems, not by head on, but he lifts Christ up in the church's midst. Get our eyes on Jesus. And when we see his glory and his beauty and all that he is and has done, we go, wow, there is no other one that compares with our Christ. "He is the image of the invisible God." He is the image of the invisible God. You want to see God? Look at his son, Jesus. Oh, firstborn of all creation. Keep going, Sarah. "For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now, he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, which is the church." That's how Paul tackles the problem in the church in Colossians. You know, when a person comes to Christ, we generally send them to which book of the Bible? The Gospel of John. And in there we see, we go through the Gospels and we see the life of Christ. And we go, wow, what a Savior. And all that he does and that he laid down his life for you and I that we can be reconciled to the Father. And then sometimes when we leave that gospel and being absorbed with Christ and just being so caught up in him and wanting to follow him, sometimes when we make that leap into the epistles, into Paul's teaching and the letters, sometimes we make the error of forgetting Christ and begin to do our works for the Lord. Would there be an amen for that one? And all I'm saying this morning is God wants us planted in Christ. As we move into these other things of working out our faith with fear and trembling, as we begin to do good works that the Lord has prepared before the creation of the world for us to walk in, we can never forget we're connected to Christ. He should be the center. The mystery of the gospel, we never got to it, but 127, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the mystery of the gospel. Years ago, the angels longed to see this day, and here it comes. And what it is? A child coming down, God's Son coming to earth, living this life before us, going to the cross, purchasing our salvation. And then what did he do? In 2 weeks' time, we'll celebrate. He went up to the right hand of the Father, and he poured out his Spirit into you and I. That's the mystery of the gospel, Christ in you by his Spirit. You and I are down here now. He's gone up there, but he works through your life and mine. And sometimes we hear the gospel, we fall in love with Christ, our first love, and then we begin to read Paul's letters sometimes. Chapter 3 and chapter 4, we get into those things that we do, working out our salvation with fear and trembling, and we forget we're connected to the vine. We forget that we need our lifeblood from Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's living in you and in I. Do we really believe that? That is the gospel. And so we walk in this earth that we live in now in the strength of the Lord. You know, as I wanted to lift up Christ this morning and talk about the world religions, and actually yesterday I pulled out the old book. I took a college course in 1991, Comparative Religions, they called it. And I pulled it out last night and I started reading. 1991, I was in Peterborough, went to Toronto, went to the temple, the synagogue, the mosque, and all of these other things. And then I pulled out the book yesterday and I was leafing through, and as I was looking at it, and I had spent the whole week in Colossians. Spent the whole week, and I've been in the Gospels for 3 or 4 months just thinking about my Jesus and what he's done. And then I came in and I opened the book yesterday. I didn't last 10, 15 minutes. I thought I'd have nice charts for you here, and this religion believes this and this. But here it is in a nutshell. I'll condense it. All the religions of the world, the major ones, they have a few things that are common. Once people in the world think that, it's all, you know, they're all the same thing. They're serving the same God. They just call him a different name. And that's so far from the truth. And so, but one thing that all religions do have, of course, the ethics, you know, there's a certain code of ethics that all have. I mean, treating your neighbor and things like that. That is common to all. And all the other religions besides Christianity, they have this one thread in common too. They're all trying to climb up to God, to get right with God, to do this, to do that, to earn points, to win his favor. But Jesus Christ came down, he says, we couldn't do it. He came down to us. We're following Christ who came down. All the other religions, they're trying to get up and appease a God that's angry with them. And the Father sent his Son out of love to you and I because we couldn't make it. And he reconciles us to the Father. And so as I looked at the book, I lasted 10 minutes. I thought, my goodness, wow, like there's just no comparison here. And he said these things, not me. I don't go around the community as, oh, I'm a Christian and your religion's wrong. No, no, no. And when I talk about another religion, I'm not talking about people. There's a lot of good people, kind people that are following certain religions around the world. But we've got to come back to, what did Jesus say? What did the only begotten Son of the Father say? He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You only come to the Father through me. I didn't say that. He did. He preached that. And he died for that. And so, just to show you the supremacy of Christ, I thought I'd bring a little humor to some here this morning. Do we have a picture there, Sarah? Or does Kyla? Both, actually, if you could put them side by each, that would be great. What was that? I missed that? Does anybody know that picture? Okay, put up the second one, please. See, that's the statue of the picture. And here's where I'm going. Mary, it's time to chat with Mary. So the first picture happened in 1970, May the 10th, in the Boston Gardens. St. Louis Blues in Boston's playing. They played 4 games, and the picture you see is Bobby Orr. Did you ever hear that name?
Yes,
Bobby Orr, and he just gets tripped. He takes a pass, he shoots the puck in the net, Noel Picard trips him, and the cameraman just happened to be there, and he's there, he is stretched out. Wow. And they just won the Stanley Cup. Okay? And the next picture, you see Carrie Ann and I last year, and we're standing in front of this statue. Okay? Now, here's my point. For anybody that's over 60, I was watching that game in 1970, but anybody that's over 60, they will know this, that the people that played hockey with Bobby Orr, they would say this, he's in a league of his own. We're talking about star players that played alongside this man, and they would all point to him and say, that man's in a league of his own. Here's my transition to the gospel. Jesus Christ is in a league of his own. Amen. Nobody compares with Christ. And your work and my work and our testimony is constantly to lift him up in our own midst as we worship the Lord and to the people that we speak to in our community. I don't know about you, but I used to have somebody into my home and we'd go head to head, you know, discussing, you know, the gospel. And I really don't think I made much headway unless I would exalt Christ in his midst. We can try to do the arguments, and some are gifted in that. I'm not gifted in that, but apologetics, and there's certain guys that are just so gifted in that, like lawyers' minds and debate and stuff, and I'm not gifted in that. But one thing we all can be gifted in is just pointing people to him, because he really is the Son of God, and he's the answer to all of life's dilemmas. He's our Savior, he's our Lord, and that's the one. He is the one we want to point people to. Amen. Closing with that thought. Anybody ever see the movie Cleopatra? I believe there's a line in there that Carrie Ann and I say to one another now and again. All other men are small in your presence. She says that to me. All other men are small in your presence. Put that on Jesus. All other gods, all other religions, all are just small in his presence. Let's pray.